Get ready to celebrate God's call to go. Here's your weekly dose of heartwarming encouragement for the missionary in all of us. Welcome to Missions Change My Life. Now here's your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Missions Change My Life podcast. This is a poor kid from rural North Carolina that has now flown over a million miles to 27 different countries. I've taken nearly 1,000 people on mission trips to India. We've collected millions for God's work among Indian nationals. I will be sharing compelling stories of radical transformation from ordinary people. Buckle up. You're going to hear some amazing stories. I'm going to take you right inside 20 plus years of real life mission trip devotional moments. And we will be sharing practical tools to empower and equip you. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources as God uses missions to change your life. Before we welcome today's very special guest, Jennifer, to Missions Change My Life, let me share some additional context with you why I'm incredibly honored to know Jennifer and to have her on the show. Jennifer is in the Masters of Divinity program at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. In fact, she works for the seminary in administration for the Assistant Dean of Students. She loves cross-cultural ministry. She is a gifted worship leader, songwriter, and teacher. Actually, Jennifer is known for her incredible ability of impromptu singing and making friends with anyone and everyone. She is one of the few people I know that has a free place to stay in every country of the world. She has made that many friends. Jennifer, welcome to Missions Change My Life.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here too.
Yeah. So we actually just got back from a mission trip to India just a few weeks ago.
You
how was
sure
that?
Did. Oh, it was incredible. Yeah. It felt like it was only a week, but it was more than that.
You've actually been to India several times. Tell us about your international missions experience thus far.
Yeah. So in March 2018 was my first time going to India, and I was there for a college trip for a week. Mm. And then I went back and led a college trip the year after that. And then this summer I went and took some high school friends and stayed for 3 weeks on my own after those 3 weeks with them. Mm-hmm. And got to teach songwriting at an orphanage.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you're saying three international mission trips to India in 15 months?
Yeah.
Isn't God good?
He's so good.
Wow. 15 months earlier, would you have guessed that that's one of the life experiences that be allowed to have?
Wow, never. I mean, India was never even on my radar. It was in my senior year of college that I just was going through some stuff in my life, and I asked the Lord, hey, I'm tired of praying for this stuff and this pain to go away, and Holy Spirit, can you just pray for me instead? And he just kind of took over, and he just put the words in my mouth. And some of the nations that came to life in that prayer was India. And so I started praying for India. My college pastor's trip was that weekend, and I had no idea. So that was when I was like, okay, I think it's India. Let's go there.
Yeah. You know, we've taken almost 1,000 people to India through Global Hope India, and you're not the first to share one of those God awareness building of just a burden for the people of India and the country of India. Mm-hmm. Obviously, whenever I went 20 years ago, India was never on my radar, and there was an Indian people living in my community. And so there's really no connection except God called. And I said, if you will provide, I will go. And he provided, and I went. And now it's been 50 times in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I have met countless people who really began their mission experience with that kind of awakening. It's not that God always puts a specific story in our heart about people in India or something like that. It's more of God just building his love for the people of India into our hearts, most of the time unexpectedly.
Yeah, I would say that really, my heart for India developed in that prayer But it didn't really come to life until I was in India. And mm-hmm. I got to be with the people of India. And even while I was in India my first time, I was like, God, what am I doing here? Like, mm-hmm. why here?
Yeah.
But it was the way they loved me that changed my heart to be like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to be a non-resident missionary. Even when I'm gone, I'm going to keep praying for these people. And I'm going to do whatever it takes for these people to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then went back a second time. And then, of course, my heart broke even more. And that's when I was like, I'm coming back a third time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was their love for me that really, really stirred my heart to love them the way that I do now.
Yeah. So sometimes we think of a call to missions and we want it to make sense, mm-hmm. but it doesn't always make sense because it is a knowledge that God already has that we're just now beginning to perceive. And we're not really, as you just described, necessarily going to understand it until we've gone. And we may not even understand it on the first trip. It may be the second trip, but we just need to be obedient with the yes mm-hmm. and just follow the next step.
Yeah. Yes to the yes. I think that a lot of times we try to wonder why, and we try to find symbolism, and we try to ask why. When Moses was called, his first question was, why would you ask me, God? But God was like, excuse me, can you just go? Because mm-hmm. it's still you. I still choose you. And that's when he said yes, after a couple of times of him trying to get away from it. But it's like that. We can't just ask why, and we can't dabble around it. We just have to go for it, because the adventure with the Lord is the most exciting thing and the scariest thing, but the best thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you said something about your first trip mm-hmm. that is very intriguing. You said that you were even there asking God why, mm-hmm. and it's as if he revealed to you, Jennifer, you're one of the beneficiaries of this trip, mm-hmm. and you didn't necessarily expect that, because it's very natural. We go and want to serve the people that we're going to serve, mm-hmm. and it's not uncommon for God to say, hey, wait a minute. I love them, but I love you. Mm-hmm. And I brought you here so that you and I can get deeper and yes. I can open up your eyes to my love for you.
Right.
Describe that in your first trip. Why? How did you experience God minister to you?
I really have to get back into that first trip zone. So I think that number one, it was just being able to see language. One of my biggest dreams that the Lord has given me is writing songs of every tongue and every tribe for everyone to hear mm-hmm. the name of Jesus and his love for all of us, and getting to be in a place in a language that was unheard of to me was beautiful. The first day that I got there, I sat down with the kids and I was like, hey, let me pull out my guitar and see what happens. And mm. they just started singing songs to me that they knew. Mm. And I was like, let's translate this. Let's figure it out. And we just got to write songs together. Mm-hmm. And it was the beauty of the fact that God's love moves through every barrier, every language, every culture, that moved my heart to be like, wow, this dream that the Lord has planted in me, and that is the mission of God, is really being revealed through this moment in these kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times we wonder why, because the Lord actually wants us to enjoy the process of like, I was there for 1 week, but really look at what it's become. Now I'm a non-resident missionary of India. I love them. I pray for them. Mm-hmm. I'll go there whenever the Lord sends me there. Mm-hmm. I have friends there. It's not just like I went once and that was it. So it's a process. And so I think looking back now, and the last three times I've been, it's been, every experience has been different and has shaped me and hopefully impacted someone else, but they've impacted my life forever for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to hear about your next second and third trip, but let's pause just for a moment and mm-hmm. share with our listeners your testimony, mm-hmm. Because you're not native of America.
Yeah.
And so just share with us how have you seen God revealing himself to you?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Dominican Republic. We moved to the U.S. when I was 10 years old. I grew up Catholic and I grew up hearing about God and knowing everything in Sunday school and basically wanting to be perfect and thinking that I could be perfect. And it was after I moved here, after feeling like an outcast, feeling like a foreigner, feeling like there were places where I messed up in my life, that the Lord just revealed himself to me in his grace. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize, like, okay, number one, I'm not perfect. I actually can't be perfect. I heard the gospel simply put at a camp that I went to. And that's what started changing my life. And those places that I used to seek satisfaction in were satisfied. And places where I was sad and depressed, the Lord just brought me joy. And the third part was the places where I felt like a foreigner because of my immigration status were completely transformed. Because in Philippians 3:20, it says, we're citizens of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so in that process of gaining my citizenship here, I realized, you know what? No matter what land I'm in, I belong mm-hmm. to Abba Father. I belong mm-hmm. to heaven. And so that's been the cry of my heart since, is to see every place that I travel to, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, see like, wow, look at where we actually belong to. And so that even means like, how can we see kingdom come here in places where diversity really doesn't exist? Lack of diversity can't make diversity, but the heart of God can, because the heart of God is for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that includes Indians in the triangle. That includes Nepalis in the triangle. Everyone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So share just a minute about your teenage years, because you really had some dark moments. And it's important for listeners to understand that people who go on mission trips are not perfect people who have walked purely with the Lord every single day of their life. And mm-hmm. so now they're eligible to go on a mission trip. It's everyday Joes. Mm-hmm. Every one of us have had times of really rebellion, times mm-hmm. of restlessness before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's only by his grace that we then are we find ourselves in the mission field, mm-hmm. Being representation of Christ. So what was your teenage years like?
I would say that, especially as someone that had just moved to a new country and was really figuring out what is like the cool American clique. Like, I try to satisfy my heart with that, just trying to find like who can I hang with, who can be cool. And it was really all out of this like selfish ambition of like, I want to be popular. And I want, yeah, like I'll do anything wrong to get people's attention. So it really was seeking attention and just being satisfied by that. And I just saw how like being in big crowds, I even felt my heart be lonely. Mm-hmm. And it just felt so like, what's the point? Like mm-hmm. I'm lonely and I have all these friends, but like, what's the point? And so in that, it spiraled into like, okay, I'm crying myself to sleep every night and I don't understand why. Mm. And it was just like this darkness, this loneliness that took a hold of me for, I would say, especially like eighth grade year. And it wasn't till I got to high school that my older brother had accepted Jesus, and he invited me into this community of people through Young Life. Not sure if anyone has ever heard of that, but those leaders looked at me with such joy, and it was actually genuine. It wasn't fake, because mm-hmm. anybody can smell who's fake from far away. But these people were genuine and were genuinely interested in me, and I was like, this is interesting. And so when they took me to this Young Life camp, the person speaking that weekend said, hey, here's the gospel, that we were all sinners and we're not perfect, but the perfect one died in our place for us. And he didn't just stay dead, he rose. And now we get to have a complete relationship with him every single day mm. of our lives if we choose that. And that was when I was like, oh, so I have purpose. Like mm-hmm. there's a point to my life. It's not pointless, like when I used to cry myself to sleep every night, or mm-hmm. I still was at that point. And he said, if you want purpose in your life, if you want to leave a legacy, if you want to make history, you have to be a part of his story. Mm-hmm. And when I heard those words, that's when I was like, ooh, okay, this clicks. I'm in. I'm mm-hmm. in. God, whoever you are, like, I haven't talked to you in ages, but like, I'm in, whatever it is. And I just saw my heart change completely. Mm. And like the love for people, because when you fall in love with the creator, you can't help but love his creation. Mm-hmm. And especially in high school, when people are just trying to find their clique, you can see right through that with his eyes. When you have God's eyes, you can see, okay, here's insecurity. Okay, I'm trying to say hi to this person. They're walking away, but that's fine. They get to see Jesus and the fact that I waved, that I smiled. And so it became like, now I'm following Jesus. Now my heart is full. And I actually have no friends, but I feel incredible because I have the bestest friend in my heart. Mm. So it just, it was definitely a shift to feeling lonely in crowds and completely joyful with no one around me but him.
Mm-hmm. And that's so hard to imagine because you're such a people person and everyone loves you and you have so many friends now. And and you, as you said, you have family here, you have family in India. Mm-hmm. And I've watched you as I've traveled internationally with you. It's like you have a home waiting for you in how many different countries? That was one of our jokes
like
this summer.
Every airport, like, hey, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll visit you in Germany. Totally. Give me your address, everyone.
Yeah. And it's not that you're begging for places to stay. They're offering all these. It's like you are the guest whisperer. Everyone wants to invite Jennifer to their home. And that's just so refreshing to see someone of the gospel that meets no stranger and mm-hmm. knows no boundary or no barrier, no prejudice, no hatred, nothing but just authentic love of Jesus to mm-hmm. to be able to share. And to, you know, you've come full circle from knowing the impact of genuineness mm-hmm. and now understanding how effective that is when Jennifer can just be genuine with whoever's in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen God use that for his glory.
You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise.
And now imagine yourself on the Ford mission field. You and your team are on the bus going to today's programs. After singing a few songs, Pastor Kevin stands to deliver a devotion.
Hey team, you to hear this. Before we go into the program today, I want to encourage you with this word from the Lord. It is the word bold. He calls us to be bold. But boldness is not what we do, it's how we do it. So today, I want you to think about living bold, serving bold, loving bold. It's not a what, it is a how. God will use any good mission trip to remind us of the reality of being on Jesus' time. And so a part of being bold today, I want you to take your watch off. I want you to look at Luke 2:49. Jesus asked them, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" The reality is missions can drive type A people crazy, but we need to surrender the schedule to God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to minimize distractions. That requires flexibility. One of the pathways to boldness is to be flexible. It's to have a good sense of humor. What does it take to distract you from the mission? That will be what will erode your boldness. And if you want to find boldness, then minimize distraction and allow the Holy Spirit to give you boldness in your activity today. Prayer is our greatest work. You can scrap the schedule and start praying at any time on any location. And when you think about it, that's boldness. To allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt you at any moment and to begin praying in tune with your Heavenly Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, there is probably no greater action of boldness that we can take. So today, throughout our mission, I want to encourage you to think about the word bold. And I want you to live bold. Go out today into our programs and be bold in your actions. Let the Holy Spirit empower boldness. Are you ready? Let's go out there. Ready, set, go.
Nothing boosts reaching internationals more than saying, "I've been there." Global Hope India has taken nearly 1,000 people on short-term mission trips and seen both Americans and Indians radically transformed. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to see people far from God raised to life in Christ, then GHI is your opportunity. See our mission trips at globalhopeindia.org/go. There's definitely a trip for you.
We want to give some local love to the professionals at Big Jerry's Fencing based in Apex, North Carolina. They are your local fence company specializing in residential fences, commercial fences, custom wood, aluminum, chain link, and vinyl. Big Jerry's Fencing offers all types of fence installations to residential and commercial builders. Everyone knows that today for a company to have 5 stars on Google means a lot. Big Jerry's Fencing has a 5-star review. We recognize Jerry Davis's witness for Christ and their incredible generosity for expanding heaven. Check out their website at bigjerrysfencing.com.
So let's now go to your second mission trip to India. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So second mission trip to India, it was interesting because number one, just the way that I was asked to lead that was unexpected. I really had no idea whether God was going to take me back to India or not. And when my college pastor approached me and was like, hey, Jen, can you lead this? And usually you pray for things for a while. I remember I was at a wedding when he asked me and I was like, yeah, let me just go to the bathroom real quick. And I went to the bathroom. I prayed and I said, I just felt God say, girl, you don't need to pray about this. You just got to go. And I was like, okay.
I love that.
And so I went back to my college pastor and I was like, hey, man, I'm in. And so then it was about building the team. Mm-hmm. And people just poured in. They just wanted to be a part of this because the last trip we had taken, we were just ravishing about it. We couldn't stop talking about what God had done in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so people just hopped in. What was very different going to this trip was, it's kind of interesting, but we did less. It was doing less and being more. And I think a lot of people on the trip were like, kind of thrown off by that. It was literally just like being with orphans and widows. Mm-hmm. And that's so biblical. But when you really put yourself in the shoes of like, oh, I actually have to be still and just hang mm-hmm. with the kids mm-hmm. and just hang with mm-hmm. the widows. It's like, if you're a person that loves to do, God's gonna, God's gonna say, hey, be still and enjoy my mm-hmm. people. And so it really was, for me, it was beautiful because I remember coming back to the orphanage and the girls that I remember by name that I'd been praying for a whole year to see them again were there. And I remember calling them by name and they were like, oh my gosh, sister, you remember my name, and just tears. Mm. And that mm-hmm. to me was like, wow, like yeah. praise God that this is a moment I've actually been ready and waiting for mm-hmm. because I prayed for them and I know them by name. And so it was even cooler coming back a second time and being like, I have friends, mm-hmm. I have family. I know you by name, you know me by name. Mm-hmm. So that was huge and that was different. And just as a trip leader, getting to see my teammates encounter what I had encountered a year before mm-hmm. and the culture shock and the, you know, everything that's different and the lack of sleep and whatever it is, it's like, I get it, man. Mm-hmm. I get it. And it's a fun place to be when you get to see it. Mm-hmm. From another perspective. So
yeah any person that has been a follower of Christ hopefully values the presence of God in their life, and you know the difference of the presence of God. If you're still not sure, you need to go to India because you will see the value of the presence of God firsthand mm-hmm. and there. But to see a team, as you just described, minister simply by being present mm-hmm. to that we are following someone that makes all the difference in the world by just showing up and being present in our lives. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to follow him, then he is going to put us under assignment at times when the only assignment is just simply show up and be present. Mm-hmm. And that's what Amen. You described.
Yeah.
And I love that a college group from the USA on their spring break could have been in Florida, could have been in action mode and really having the high life, mm-hmm. but they sacrificed that and they went abroad on an international mission trip right. and their ministry was just simply being present
right.
and knowing people on a first name basis, hanging out with orphans, ministering to the widows and just being present. So
right.
what do you feel, if you could sum up in one word that experience, what word would it be? What would you use?
Mm. Wow, I had so many words for it, but really it was the beauty of stillness. So I would say, like, just being,
mm-hmm.
learning yeah. to be with people and love them. Like, I think when we, in American culture, when we think of mission trip, we think, oh, like, we say, what are you going to go do over there? What are
we
you going to?
We planted 3,000 mango trees. Right. We passed out 10,000 Bibles.
We built like houses for yeah. blah, blah, blah. And we and feel so awesome yeah. and we're the heroes. And then it's like, oh, cool. But like, are you friends with the people there? Like, what about relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And the gospel isn't about like getting to build all these houses. I mean, like the Son of Man didn't even have a place to lay his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really like about relationship. So the being was a huge, it spoke a lot to our team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's important to understand that one of God's core values is simply people. God loves people. Mm-hmm. And there are projects and they're good. In this episode, we're not trying to demean anyone's project of a construction project or
right.
a plantation of mango trees or mm-hmm. or Bible distribution.
Right. Those are all good.
Yeah.
Those are
yeah,
all good.
Yeah.
Those are all good.
But there is a place in missions to just simply be a friend to mm-hmm. the least of these. Know an orphan by name,
mm-hmm.
to hold a widow's hand and just smile and
right.
be present with them in the midst of their suffering or in the midst of their joy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and let's move on to the third mission trip. How was that?
Yeah.
How was that different?
Wow. It was incredible, number one, just because, I mean, we were just talking about planting mango trees mm-hmm. and the doing. Yeah, we got to do a lot of different things. We got to teach. We got to visit different ministries. We got to learn a lot from different ministries in India.
So let's give a commercial for the city project.
Give it.
Yeah,
yes.
I3, it's three cities, 3 weeks, one country, one mission. And we call it I3. And it's going to happen in June for high school students and in July for college or young adults age. Adults. So you went for 3 weeks
mm-hmm.
this time. That was your longest time in India. And then you stayed even beyond that.
Yeah, for three more weeks.
Yeah, so
that.
6 weeks in India.
Right.
What is the value of that over a 10-day trip? Both have their place, but
jet lag is smoother, number one.
Yeah.
No, but really it goes by way faster than what we think. I felt like I was there for a week when I came back. I was like, what just happened? Did I just leave a dream? But I think we actually get to be involved in people's lives when we stay there longer and when we're consistent instead of just like being there for a week. It could impact your life eternally. It will impact your life eternally if you go there for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But being there for 6 weeks was like, I get your culture. I get like I am Indian now. I literally look I wear Indian clothes now. I you just get around. You feel like Jesus, like cross culture,
mm-hmm.
like from heaven's throne to like baby boy here on earth walking among us. So I just think like the value of cross culture will just get you to see a picture of Jesus in an even deeper way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that what we got to do in City Project with high schoolers was really cool because they got to be there for 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but every week we went somewhere new
yeah.
and got to immerse ourselves with a new family or a new ministry. And I would say, number one, do it. Just
mm-hmm.
do it. Why not? Like, what do you have to lose? Don't worry about the money. The Lord literally provided $5,000 for me in 3 weeks because
mm-hmm.
that's just him. He does mm-hmm. things like that are surprising.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And so started out in the city of Hyderabad and then
yeah.
went to Chennai and then
yeah.
ended up in the red light district of Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
And every context was different and a variety of activities and mm-hmm. different hotels along the way and,
yeah.
and everything. What were some of the consistent themes that you saw, the dynamics of the team and just how did the Lord reveal himself
mm-hmm.
in those during that time with the students?
From the first week to the high schoolers that stayed to the third week, like I was able to see how they grew. Like
mm-hmm.
there was one girl on our trip and she just It was like first week trauma of like insecurity and like what's my worth. Mm-hmm. And especially on a team, you can feel like everyone's choosing everyone but you, when really that's just of the enemy, just mm-hmm. kind of speaking lies. But I saw that the Lord used that for his good, because by the end of this trip, this girl was like, she knew who she was in Christ, and she was boldly proclaiming it every village we went to. There was even a moment where, like, just her prayers became this, wow, just like an explosion of peace over mm-hmm. every village, and like every demonic oppression, when she would pray, it was like peace would fall over.
Yeah.
And so I just loved seeing like every single one of them develop those gifts. And mm-hmm. not only that, but seeing the team speak words of encouragement to one another. Mm-hmm. I think they really learned like, oh, that, how, what is prophecy? What are these gifts? And really being like, oh, this is the Lord in us. Like we can encourage each other. We can, mm-hmm. we have these gifts. Let's start using them. So it's just really cool to see in those 3 weeks how they grew and their eyes were opened and they just ran with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speak to the youth leader, the student ministry volunteer who is leading a small group of high school students, and just the value of them considering taking an international mission trip to India with Global Hope India. What would you say? Would you say that would be beneficial? What would be your recommendation?
Are you kidding me? That would be the best. If you are struggling with your small group being surface level, forget it. There's no more surface level when we take an international trip. You're going to have to be talking about, number one, bowel movements. Mm. Like that, just every barrier goes out the door with that. And number two, like you just gain like long-term friendships that you could never ever forget. There's mm-hmm. moments that happen on these trips when you're international, when you're away from your bubble, when you're away from the people that you're used to, that causes people to become vulnerable mm-hmm. and really who they're meant to be. Yeah. So I just see it honestly being this thing that, okay, as a small group, we've broken every barrier overseas, but also now we're coming back home together. Mm-hmm. And now that we've been bold in preaching the gospel mm-hmm. here,
yeah.
let's preach it hard together as a small group mm-hmm. back in the U.S. because there are people here all over in every street corner that need to hear the actual gospel,
mm-hmm.
not just, oh, I was in India sharing the gospel. Go ahead and say what the gospel is mm-hmm. while you're waiting. That's only 20 seconds more of a conversation that can change yeah. someone's life. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah, I'm always amazed at the obstacles the enemy will put in someone's mind about the horrors of an international mission trip, and almost like how it's a root canal type experience of mm-hmm. I am going to get snake bitten. I'm going to never be able to have a good meal.
Wow.
I'm not going to be able to sleep. All these horrible things are going to happen. And the reality is there is uncomfortable parts of a mission trip. You can't deny that. But doesn't the joy of the growth and the experience with God far outweigh any inconvenience the enemy can throw at you on an international 100%, mission trip?
100%.
What would you say to someone that is saying, I applaud those that go. It's mm-hmm. just too rough for me. I can't rough it like that.
Right. I know that a big one is either like hygiene or sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest about my first week in India this summer, we went to a leper colony. And I honestly, I'm ashamed to say I had no idea like what to expect. And I was even like, well, am I going to get leprosy now? Because I'm going to hang out with lepers. Like, what's the deal? But man, getting to be with the lepers and plant mango trees with them and worship Jesus with them was actual heaven on earth. And I would have missed out on that, on this city on a hill that this leper colony was, if I wouldn't have just said yes and went. And they really are like the people that are completely forgotten by society. The government doesn't care about them. They're just waiting for them to die.
Mm-hmm.
And how cool it is that we get to experience time with people that are most likely going to see Jesus before us.
Mm-hmm.
They're just waiting for their moment. And you feel that when you get there. They literally say hallelujah and they mean it from the depth of their soul. Yeah. And so what, like the question is like, why not go?
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd be missing out
mm-hmm.
on on something greater, on a greater picture of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. It's as if the enemy wants to say, you're going to be punished. God's punishing you by sending you on a mission trip. But my experience, I've been 50 times. It is such a blessing. It's it's a reward waiting to be received by going. I've never really felt punished or tormented. And yet I've confronted a lot of inconveniences, sickness in my own body, but the joys of it far outweigh any stress that you might have to endure in the long travel and all of the inconveniences. So missions has changed my life. How's it changed your life, Jennifer?
Oh man.
What has God done? How's your life changed as a result of you going on a mission trip?
Yeah, I think number one, just because of going on mission trips, it's given me this common denominator coming back on U.S. soil every time of like, okay, sin is a thing and it might manifest itself differently here and there, but it's a thing and it needs to be tackled. And number two, Jesus is a thing. And we might present the gospel differently there than we do here, but it's Jesus. And so everywhere that I go, how can I be the missionary God has meant me to be? Mm-hmm. When I go to the grocery store, when I go get my nails done, when I go to class, when I go to work here, because of my experience overseas, I can just say that I've just become a friend to all people, not just the people that I'm comfortable with in my bubble, but all people. It's called me to be radical where I am. It's called me to not just be like everyone else around me, but be like, how can I be countercultural in this culture? And because I got to experience another culture, be like, okay, how were they countercultural in their culture too? And I think number three, something really cool is just, this happened when we went to the red light district in Mumbai, where basically sex trafficking is happening all over. There was probably 1,500 to 2,000 women stuck there. And I remember walking there and feeling culture shocked. It was interesting, but I was also like, Lord, here I am. Give me opportunity. Show me what you want me to say. Show me what you want me to see. And I see this man, and he's a pimp. And he's wearing this shirt that says, blood is the ink of freedom. And I literally, it was like the gospel clicked. Like, yes, blood, like Jesus's blood is the ink of freedom. Oh my gosh. Like, he needs to know that his shirt is the gospel. And I remember pulling the pastor we were with, because he's obviously fluent, and being like, oh my gosh, dude, by the way, you have the gospel on your shirt. Pastor, please tell him right now what's on his shirt. And pastor translated, and just like seeing his face of like, whoa, number one, this has never happened to me. Number two, like, whoa, they just shared like God's grace with me. And I know I don't deserve it. And so that even speaks to me of like, the gospel is for every human being. It's for the pimp. It's for the widow. It's for the orphan. It's for every single person, because we all have sin and we all need it. So
I love that story. In Acts, we see the Damascus Road experience with Saul and him being transformed to Paul. And one of the things that Saul experienced was Jesus saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he had not been persecuting Jesus to his face. He had been persecuting the people of Christ. And I love how you just documented and demonstrated that you were free to be a friend to this man, even though he was representing something that is very sad in our hearts of commercial sex trafficking. Because it's not personal against Jennifer. It's ultimately him persecuting Christ. If he, in any of our rebellions, we're anytime that we are rebellious, we are actually persecuting Christ. And so I love that you demonstrated genuine love to him, and you let Christ deal with his heart, but you spoke truth to him and cared about him and didn't just write him off and pass him by. Like,
yeah, that. And he was the one the Lord highlighted too. So
yeah, that's great. That's great. So how has missions changed your everyday experience? Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah. Oh man, I would say, even coming back from this last trip, that definitely prayer for the Lord to give me opportunity to share the gospel at least once a day with someone new. And I can tell you right now, every single day of every week, I've gotten to highlight someone that the Lord just presents to me and get into a gospel conversation. And so it's not just let's go overseas to a mission trip. It's let's bring God's heart with us everywhere we go. And that's right here where you live. And so I'm saying the nations are here. People are here. Americans and internationals are here, and they need to know the name of Jesus. And so pray for God to give you an opportunity every single day to share the gospel and be bold. Be bold and surround yourself with friends that want to be bold with you in a non-invasive yet loving way.
I love the point that you're making there. And I'd love to just close out this episode with you leading us in a brief prayer for everyone that has ever returned from a trip. Because even if you are listening to this episode and you're thinking, well, I wish that I had had that same experience and I would have come right back and been bold the day I got back. It's never too late for you to be bold. It's never too late for you to realize God invested thousands of dollars and lots of time and resources to take you to the other side of the earth to make Christ known. And it wasn't just for that moment. It is an investment for you and I to come back here and make Christ known in everyday life. And you get that, Jennifer. And I applaud you, and I applaud everyone like you that understands that there is a mission call in every one of us. We are a missionary, whether we're a good one or a bad one. We have been made a missionary. And so I'd like for you just to pray for everyone that has returned from a trip, that today would be a day of boldness in their life, and that they would just make it a purpose of their life to just enter into conversations and just walk throughout this earth ready to make Christ known at every opportunity.
Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to be a part of this mission with you. You do not need us, but you call us and you invite us into something precious, into something beautiful, and something radical and life-changing. So God, I just pray right now for every single human being that has gone overseas or are thinking about going overseas, that in this moment you stir their hearts for the people that they're surrounded by right now, that you highlight the people that they need to minister to right now in their workplaces, in their homes, with their family, at school. Lord, highlight these people. People on the street, the homeless, the famous, anyone in between, Lord, just completely stir their heart with your love, Jesus. And I just pray that if they're coming back from a trip, there's usually this point of just sadness. And I just want to pray against that right now. And I just ask that you fill it with joy on their way back, when they're on that plane ride back, Jesus, that you fill that time with joy and that you give them something to look forward to because they're going on their next mission back home. And so I pray for that in Jesus' name. I pray for the nations that are here, for the people that live at home in your home, that their hearts are ready to receive it, that their hearts are ready for the boldness God has given you, because it's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he's just waiting for you, and he's saying, please don't quench me. Use me. So in Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. The mission never ends. The trip may be over, but the mission certainly never ends. Thank you so much, Jennifer. God bless you.
Got a story for us? We've set up a dedicated phone line to record your story. Simply dial 95-MISSION-5. That's 95-MISSION-5. How has God used missions to change your life? We want to know. Call 95-MISSION-5. If we use your story on the show, we'll send you a Starbucks e-gift card. That's 95-MISSION-5. Call today. This episode is complete, so head over to globalhopeindia.org for show notes, resources, and opportunities to go to India through GHI. Continue to be radically transformed by God as you live out the Great Commission, and we'll see you again next week here at Missions Change My Life.